This is T.B. Gilbert speaking, who greet you in Christ's name and bring you a Bible talk on the fact that man is a creature of eternity. The word eternity itself is only mentioned once in the Bible. Isaiah 57 verse 15 says, "Thus saith the Lord, the high and holy one, who inhabited eternity." However, other words are used, such as eternal, everlasting, and forever and ever, which mean the same. In Deuteronomy 33:27, we read, "The eternal God is thy refuge." And in Romans 1:23, it speaks of his eternal power and Godhead. Ephesians 3:20 tells of his eternal purposes, and he is called the King Eternal in 1 Timothy 3:17. It was the life of this eternal God that was breathed into Adam when God created him, and that's why man is a responsible creature, or a creature of eternity. In other words, dear friend, when you or I die, our spirits go back to God who gave them. We read in Ecclesiastes 12:5, where it speaks of man going to his long home, that the spirit returns to God who gave it. Now the question is, what will God, the God of the spirits of all men, do with our spirits when they return to him? He breathed into Adam a pure spirit or life in creation, and now it has been defiled by sin. Will God accept all of us into heaven just as we are, without salvation or preparation? Matthew 25:46 says there are two places where men go after they are judged by God. I shall read Matthew 25:46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Thus, these are the two destinies to which we are all hastening. One is called everlasting life, and the other eternal punishment or torment. Our not believing will not change the Lord's word. It seems the people who lived in our great country 50 or 60 years ago believed more in eternal punishment than their children and grandchildren do today. This may account for much of the wickedness and for the many suicides. If people believed they were going to hell, they would think twice before they would take their lives. We are living in a day when there is no fear of God before their eyes. God sent John the Baptist to tell the people to flee from the wrath to come, to warn them of judgment ahead. Christ, when he was here, warned people even more than did John. He told those who blasphemed the Holy Ghost they were in danger of eternal damnation. When Jesus used the word hellfire, he used the word Gehenna, which means the lake of fire. This word is mentioned 11 times in the New Testament, and 10 of those times it was used by the Lord Jesus Christ. Only Christ could reveal its true significance. Hell or Hades means the unseen world, but Gehenna, translated hell or hellfire, means the lake of fire. He warned people to escape the damnation of hell, and told them to fear not men who kill the body, but fear God who could cast both soul and body into hellfire. Christ sought to inform people that the worst thing which could happen to them would be to lose their soul and to be cast into hellfire. Most of us like to think of heaven as the Bible describes it, with the pearly gates, a street of gold, and a place where there is no more pain or crying or tears, and no more death. But let us not forget, in order to get there, we must turn from our sinful ways while we are here and trust the Savior, who is the door and the way to heaven. God wants us all to go to heaven and has offered eternal life, but it seems only the few want it. Perhaps the reason is, eternal life is a gift and not of works, lest any man should boast. Would you, my dear friend, like to take eternal life as a gift from God right now? The reason it is a gift is because we are all sinners. No one deserves to go to heaven, nor could we earn our way to heaven. If God did not give heaven to us, none of us would be there. We read in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Only those who look to Jesus Christ and own him as Lord can receive eternal life. 1 John 5:11 says, God has given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Too many are looking to themselves and human efforts, or to the church and its ordinances, instead of looking to Jesus. The life, we read, is in the Son. And we read, he that hath the Son hath life. Peter said to Jesus, thou, Lord, hast the words of eternal life. John 6:68, and that's right. We receive eternal life when we receive his word. John 5:24 says, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. People often ask, how do you know you are saved and have eternal life? Well, it is through the Word of God. We believe what God has said. We know that God cannot lie. Why don't you, my dear listener, start reading the Bible and start believing what God says? We all have too many of our own ideas. In John 6:54, we read, whosoever eateth my flesh, said Jesus, and drinketh my blood, hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now the question is, what does it mean to eat Christ's flesh and drink his blood? Some think it refers to partaking of the Lord's Supper, or the sacrament, as they call it. Some churches do not even pass the cup to people that speaks of his blood. Then they, if that's what it means, or this verse means, the Lord's Supper, could not be saved. They don't drink of his blood. And most people who are partaking of the Lord's Supper do not know for sure that they are saved. Now Christ said, whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. When we eat something, it becomes a part of us. And so will Christ when we eat of him and drink his blood. It means we appropriate Christ, his death, and accept him as our personal Savior. Those who do will know by God's word that they are saved. This is something we can know, for Christ became a man to die for us. He gave his body and his blood on the cross to save us from our sins. Listen to John 3:14-15, and I quote, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Many scriptures tell us those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ have everlasting life. Eternal life and everlasting life are the same. One refers to it as always existing, and the other tells us how long it lasts. That which is eternal takes in the past, the present, and the future. When we get eternal life, we are assured of the future for all eternity. It's everlasting. One scripture says we have eternal life, and another, we are going into eternal life. Now both are true of Christians. They have eternal life now, and they will go into eternal life. That is the full enjoyment of it when they reach the other side. But it will be a dreadful thing for those who miss getting this eternal life, which God is now offering free as a gift. Listen, if you will, to the solemn words of warning Christ gave people when he was here. And I read Matthew 5:28-30. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh at a woman to lust after her committeth adultery already in his heart. And if the right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is more profitable for thee that one of thy members should suffer and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Then in Mark 9:43 we read, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter maimed into life than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Mark 9:43-46. Here is a warning to men that they will be in hell if they follow their eyes or hands or feet. The only way to be saved is through Christ. But if we let our eyes look upon the things of this world that keep us from Christ, no matter what they are, we will miss heaven. The same is true of our hands or the things we're doing, and also of our feet and the places where we are going. If the things of earth are more important to us than getting our souls saved, and we prefer the things of time, we will miss the blessings of eternity. Christ said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Nothing is more important than the salvation of our souls. One day we will leave all here, and only what is done for Christ will mean ever anything over there. May we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all these things may be added unto us, and if you haven't received Christ, call upon him right now and receive him. Shall we pray? Father, bless thy word and every listener. We do ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks for listening. God bless you.